During the course of this current series, the studies of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, I've had people ask me the question, are you going to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit? I said, yes, I am. When? It's the last sermon in the series. Why? It's the least important sermon in the series. How could you say such a thing? Come and find out. I've had people ask me questions, not recently, but in my ministry, I've had people ask me questions like, do you have services where you get together and pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where people get baptized in the Holy Spirit? I said, no, we don't. Why? Well, because I can't find any instruction in the Bible to tell me to do that. Oh, okay. When you hear the phrase, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have a lot of different people thinking a lot of different things. As is the truth in much of this study. And so I always want to call you back to the Bible. Why did I just say what I said in the last 5 minutes? Because of what I read in the Bible. So let's read the Bible. How about that? The scriptures that I want to read today are here, or else other passages are listed for further study or for emphasis. And so I'm going to read, and then I'm going to quickly give you my reasoning for why I said what I said. John's Gospel, the first chapter, verses 29 to 34, are so important when it comes to this subject of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I want to point out that these thoughts are in John's first chapter, his opening comments in his gospel. And I can't emphasize that enough. It's there because it's so important. And then I'm going to read a few verses from Acts chapter 1. And so John says in his first gospel, the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. Now you think about what he's saying here. A man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. Let's move down to the next paragraph here. John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I saw this happen to Jesus, so I testify that he is the chosen one of God. The one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, once when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this takes place in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, if you read the whole chapter, it is there that I come up with my own personal view of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, Acts chapter 2, but you have to read the whole chapter, and I didn't have room to put it in the outline. It springs from Joel chapter 2, verse 28, which I'll read in a little bit. Now, here's something that we need to understand when we begin to study this topic of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, we are given several commands regarding our relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. These are commands that we are asked to carry out. We are asked to respond. We are told, do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit. We are told to be filled with the Spirit. We are told to live by the Spirit. We are told to walk by the Spirit. We are told to keep in step with the Spirit. We are told not to grieve the Holy Spirit. We are told not to quench the Holy Spirit. We are told to pray in the Holy Spirit. We are never told to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now you need to think about that. The Bible never tells us to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Bible never tells us to be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean baptism of the Holy Spirit or being indwelt with the Spirit is unimportant. It differentiates something about those experiences. The Bible speaks of the baptism of the Holy Spirit several times. But what the difference is when it comes to all these statements that I've listed in your outline, the difference between those statements, those are commands, and the thought that one is indwelt with the Holy Spirit or that one is baptized in the Holy Spirit, the difference is that those things happen to you. We don't manufacture them. They happen as a consequence of faith and obedience. We can choose not to blaspheme the Holy Spirit by trusting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. No one says Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. When we trust in Christ, we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. We're also told that there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, but we're never told to seek it or to have services so that it will happen or repeat the same words in a song 59 times until it does happen. And so it leads one to ask the question, three questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that will begin to satisfy. Maybe it'll satisfy you. When I say something that is kind of shocking, that I think this sermon is the least important in the series, like, whoa, really? Well, hold on. Listen to me for 10 more minutes. Three questions about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Number one, and the most important question, who offers the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Who is it? This is meant for you to answer out loud. Who offers the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Jesus, absolutely. Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verses 29 to 34, what I read. Jesus is the one. That's what John the Baptist was so in awe of. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I'm not worthy to untie his sandals. Jesus is the one. John says, I baptize with water, but Jesus baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, don't miss this. The Apostle John is talking about John the Baptist as he writes. John wants us to feel the vast superiority of Jesus in this contrast between water and spirit. He wants us to feel this vast superiority of Jesus. Baptizing with the Holy Spirit and baptizing with water is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. It's the difference between a person and a painting, between a marriage and a ring, right? There's a big difference. There's a big difference between a birth and a birth certificate. There's a big difference between immersion in water and immersion in God Himself. And so John says, I baptize with water for repentance, but actually, really what I'm doing is pointing towards the one who is going to baptize with fire, meaning the Holy Spirit, and the true presence and anointing of God. And so what John is saying in this contrast is what he's been saying all along. I am nothing compared to Jesus. What I do and what he does are in two radically different categories. I dare not untie his sandals, John says. He was absolutely before me. He ranks infinitely above me. I am the voice. He is the message. I am the temporary pointer. Jesus is the eternal person. I am a mere man. Jesus is the God-man. And so the focus of Christ's superiority in this passage is the fact that he baptizes in the Holy Spirit while John merely baptizes with water. Why? Why did John choose to mention this here at the beginning of his gospel? Well, here's one reason. The Old Testament makes plain that the long-awaited Messiah would be empowered by the Spirit of God, and that in his day the Spirit would be poured out on all his people in wonderfully new ways. The Spirit and God's Messiah, they come together. So in a sense, John is saying powerfully, clearly, the Messiah is here. And he's bringing up Old Testament prophecies from Isaiah. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Isaiah 11:1-2. Isaiah 42:1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen, in whom my soul delights. I have put my Spirit on him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. Isaiah 61:1. This is the text Jesus quoted about himself. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. This is why God said to John in John 1:33, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the prophet said it would be this way, so when you see it happen, know that the one who baptizes with the Spirit has come. The Messiah is here. That's the gospel purpose, the proclamation that the Messiah is here. How do you know? The Spirit of the Lord is anointing him. And he comes then and anoints with the Spirit. He baptizes with the Spirit. The Old Testament also describes what would happen to people who the Messiah interacts with and who believe. Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Isaiah 44, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. Ezekiel 36, I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey all my precepts. This is at least part of what would be included in the baptism with the Holy Spirit. John mentions the Holy Spirit and his coming upon Jesus and Jesus baptizing with the Spirit to emphasize that the days of the Messiah are here, now. That's what Jesus brings. He brings the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is it? That's the next question. Who gives it? Jesus. What is it? It is an immersion in God Himself. This is compared in contrast with water baptism. It is an anointing. So you think of Holy Spirit baptism, it's immersion, it's anointing. The anointing of the Spirit. Now, what does the baptism of the Holy Spirit accomplish? Well, this is where people have all different kinds of ideas. Some people say it accomplishes salvation and sanctification. So that's why I have for letter A, is it salvation and sanctification? And I have five different scriptures listed there for you to think about, for you to study. Is that really what's going on? James McDonald, walk in the Word, he would say, yeah, baptism of the Holy Spirit is salvation. Okay, James, you're a lot more popular than I am, but I don't agree with you. All right, if that's the way you want to feel, it's not a sin, it's not wrong, okay? It's true, when a person becomes a Christian, that the Holy Spirit comes upon them. They are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. When you become a follower of Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. Do I think that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? No, I don't. James McDonald does. You know, it's okay if you feel that way. I'll just tell you why I don't feel that way. All right, is it salvation and sanctification? Or is it a special anointing for ministry? Yeah, I believe that. I believe that the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary for the conversion process, for regeneration, for conversion. Absolutely, I believe the Holy Spirit is necessary for sanctification. That's why we're told to walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, all those things that are listed. But I don't think that's the baptism of the Spirit. I think that the baptism of the Spirit is a special anointing for ministry. Now, here's why I believe that. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon the early believers. Now, they're told by Jesus Himself to stay in Jerusalem, right? They're gathered in Jerusalem. They're staying there. Jesus says, don't leave until you receive the Holy Spirit, until you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Once when Jesus was eating with them, He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem till the Father sends you the gift He promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now notice, these people are already believers. They're already Christians. All right, in a very real sense, they do have the Holy Spirit. But what is coming and why is it coming? A baptism of the Spirit is coming, and it is clearly, if you look at Acts chapter 2, it is clearly this anointing comes upon them for the purpose of their proclaiming the name and the news of the Messiah, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that He has died and shed His blood and risen again, and that they may be saved. Peter says, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so my definition of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is this. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when a person When a believer in Jesus Christ receives extraordinary power for Christ's exalting ministry. When you look at Acts chapter 2, what the baptism accomplishes is giving people extraordinary power, special abilities to proclaim the gospel, preaching, teaching, prophecy, exhortation, biblical counseling. They receive special anointing, special abilities to be able to do that. Now, I look at Dan and Carolyn, and I see people who have learned a language, and they did not used to know that language. That language is going to help them to proclaim the gospel, and because their passion is to reach people with the gospel, with Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, has anointed them and blessed them with the ability to learn this language, just as he blessed the early apostles with the ability to speak in the language of a different race than their own. That's Acts chapter 2. And that comes from a baptism of the Holy Spirit. There were people who didn't say this specifically, but in talking about our daughter Amy, basically said, she's never going to do what she's doing right now. Some people said, you know, Amy's never really going to be a missionary. Amy never really paid attention to that. She read a book called The Little Woman about a little 5-foot lady who became a missionary in spite of many people telling her that she could never be a missionary. She went to India and spent her whole life being a missionary, doing what people said she could not do. It was widely believed from a lot of people, and these people did not mean any harm. They're just telling Kathy and I the facts. All right, your daughter is not going to be able to learn another language. It is impossible. People who have the physical struggles and challenges that she has, and you have it all your life. That's all I'm going to get into. You can't do that. Well, she did that. She is fluent in Spanish. She called me 5 months ago and said, "Dad, guess what? I can sit in church, and now I can take notes in Spanish while the preacher preaches in Spanish." My wife, if you talk to her about Amy, she says, knowing what my wife knows and her background in education, special education, that is a flat-out miracle, okay? That is what I think the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. I think that people like this that we need to support, God help us. If money is the only reason that these fine people are not on the field when they need to be on the field. All right. What does baptism of the Holy Spirit means? It means I drive around in my 19-year-old Honda Civic so that I can give them money. That's what baptism of the Holy Spirit means. That's why some people don't want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. You see, on TV and on the internet and all kinds of things, we think of baptism in the Holy Spirit, we associate it with tongues, the gift of tongues. But there are only a few places in Acts that associate being filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Spirit with the gift of tongues. Mostly, the unction of the Spirit involves other gifts, and it always involves proclamation. And it always involves sending people who have the language or the gift. It always involves sending missionaries. So, yeah, I said, part of the way you know if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're baptized with the Spirit, is you no longer have a desire for things that will keep you from promoting and proclaiming and advancing the kingdom of God. And so you won't be able to afford things that you used to afford because you already gave the money to advance the gospel. And I don't mean giving it to me. That's not what I mean. You already give me money. I have enough money. I don't need a raise. I don't get a raise. I don't need it. God help us if good people like these people who are willing to do what they're willing to do. Do you realize what they just did? A young couple just went to Romania. She had a baby in Romania. Who does that? Who does that? Tell me, please. People who have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what you guys thought of when you heard what I was going to be preaching on today. It's like, oh man, is this guy going to flip out or what? No, the truth is I've been sick for 10 days. And so you may think of yourself, you may not think of yourself as having been baptized in the Holy Spirit. But I would say this, this is what I believe. You would not be doing what you're doing. You would not have been willing to put yourself in a situation in Romania like you did and trust God for all of those things if you had not been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So whatever you want to call it, that's what I see having happened in the Bible. And it may or may not have anything to do with a different language. In this case, yeah, I think you speak in tongues. Okay, I think my daughter speaks in tongues. So I'm Facebooking with her, or not Facebook, I'm instant messaging with her, Skyping, whatever it is. She can just go off in Spanish. I don't know Spanish. I say, Amy, speak English. This is your dad here. I don't speak in tongues, I'm sorry. Now, how does this happen? It happens because the Holy Spirit will do and accomplish anything he wants to when the gospel is at stake. So, what does it mean for you and for me? Do we seek after this baptism? I think that we should just do what the disciples were doing, what the apostles were doing. Where does the baptism happen? It happens when ordinary Christians are busy doing what Jesus told them to do. That's what the disciples were doing. That's what these people, however many of them received this gift in Acts chapter 2, what were they doing? Well, Jesus told them to stay there. Don't leave Jerusalem. So they were there doing what they ordinarily would do. They were worshiping, they were preparing, and they were just doing what Jesus told them to do. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. So what do you need to do? I don't know if you really need to seek after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I think many times what people are seeking after is something sensational. Some feeling, some experience. Whereas that's not the point of what Jesus wanted to do when he was baptizing people in the Spirit. Give people another thrill, like a roller coaster ride at Dorney Park. What Jesus is trying to get done is the proclamation of the gospel, whether it's through sign language, whether it's through Spanish, whether it's through someone, you know, working at Merck, in the corporate headquarters or whatever. You're meant to go with the gospel. And the baptism occurs when you're doing what Jesus tells you to do, and then you need special anointing in order for something God wants to accomplish to happen. So you can, I guess you can pray for this anointing, But mostly what I would want you to do is focus on the commands. Because here's my guess. If you seek to be filled with the Spirit, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, if you do not grieve the Spirit, if you do not quench the Spirit, if you're praying without ceasing in the Spirit, there's a very good chance that you're going to be baptized in the Spirit. And that you'll see visible manifestations of what the Holy Spirit does when a person is fully surrendered to Jesus. That's why we support missionaries. That's why I want people from this congregation to become missionaries. That's why I want you to be a missionary wherever you work, whatever business, whatever firm, whatever bank, whatever school, whatever place you go to earn your bread. I hope you realize that's not the real point of your being there, just to earn bread. But literally to exalt Christ. So just my personal opinion is that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when a believer in Jesus Christ receives extraordinary power for Christ exalting ministry. And that can be you. That can be Dan and Carolyn. It could be me. It could be my daughter. It could be Jim. It could be Ron. It could be Dave. It could be anyone in this room. Should we desire it? Sure. Absolutely. Should we have a thrill seeker mentality? No. No, I think that's how people get led astray. I think that's how people end up laying in aisles. And any other crazy story that you hear. So let's have a humble attitude about it and remember that the whole point of what the Holy Spirit is doing is that Jesus would be exalted. And John the Baptist's attitude in John's Gospel chapter 1 should be our attitude. Jesus is the lightning. I'm happy to be a lightning bug. Amen.